Welcome to a special Loon Dive here on Sound of the Loons. This is Steve McPherson. I'm here in Seattle with the team for the final game of the regular season, Decision Day, Minnesota United against the Seattle Sounders, playing for that second seed in the Western Conference. And I had a chance to sit down with a couple different players. We're going to hear from Ethan Finlay. We're going to hear from Michael Boxall. We're going to hear from Vito Mignone. I sort of wanted to take this opportunity to look back at the season. And one of the things that I have always sort of been interested in is how teams or groups, anybody working together with other people on things, how they sort of coalesce and how a team goes from thinking, this seems pretty good, to becoming a real unit, to having that moment when you think, man, we can actually do something here. There's something special going on, which has clearly been the case for Minnesota this season, getting into the playoffs for the first time in their MLS history. And so we'll start with Ethan. I posed the question to him. Was there a moment during the season, after a result, after a win, maybe aside from a win, was it something that started earlier in the season? Just a growing sense that something special was going on here. And what was that moment? Let's hear from Ethan.
Yeah, I think the first moment for me was in the offseason moves that we made. Ike Opara, Ozzy Alonso, adding Vito in. We didn't know, you know, how good he was going to be, obviously, and he's been tremendous, especially this last month here. So that was the moment I think I saw it on paper. From there, it was probably sometime midsummer when we started going on a little bit of the run in Open Cup, when I looked around in the locker room and I said, you know, we just had our depth tested. And when our depth got tested during that summer period where we had guys away for international duty, we had some guys out on injury, that's when I said, okay, we're good. We're good enough to make the playoffs, and we're good enough to make a run. And we saw that with the Open Cup run that we made, obviously, deep right into the finals. And then obviously sitting in second place here today and, you know, guaranteeing a playoff spot and hoping to have a home playoff game. So, you know, to me, you know, there's not a single moment that I pinpoint to. But that summer run that we went on with the Open Cup results and then, you know, sprinkling in some of the MLS Cup results, I always think that's where you can separate yourself from the pack. Every team that I've been on, whether we've made the playoffs or not, it's always been that little summer stretch. Can you maintain your spot? Can you gain some spots in the table? And I thought that, you know, this year we did that really well.
Yeah, because there's that sense, I think, and I think this happens across a lot of sports during the seasons, where there's like that first set of games and maybe some team jumps out to a hot start or some team starts slow. But then you go through that sort of dog days of the season, whether it's in summer or not, but where you sort of have to make things happen. I was thinking about that. That game against Montreal Impact away, mm-hmm. where it was a rotated squad on the road. And obviously Montreal wasn't looking great at the time. But to win on the road with that squad, I felt like that was sort of one of those things where I thought, you know, seeing some of those guys like Chase start getting opportunities and things like that, some of the young guys adding something into the squad at that point, I thought that was sort of a moment that I thought, hey, there's something here.
Absolutely. I think it's a good one. I think it's one that you'll definitely point to. You already, you know, said Chase. For me, it was kind of Mason's coming out party a little bit as well. You know, as composed as he was in that moment, we hadn't really seen that in a game. You know, you'd seen glimpses of it in training, but to see him do it in a game, you're like, whoa, okay, here we go. The way he took that first goal. So, yeah, I mean, that was a huge moment, absolutely, on the road. You know, I thought our road record, while I don't know it 100% here right now today, is probably one of the best in the league, one of the better ones in the league, I would think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just we had first five games of the year, obviously, on the road, and had a really nice start to the season on the road.
It got results right away.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like, it was that moment where it was like, okay, here we go. Like, we're off to a flying start, and then you had the lull, like you just touched on.
Yeah.
And then I think it was that summer period. And Montreal's one of them. I think the Kansas City game was huge for us, Open Cup game, mm-hmm. because at the time, you know, Darwin hadn't really, you know, exploded yet. Angelo was kind of needing some confidence. Myself was needing some confidence. So for the three of us there to get on the score sheet and just have an offensive game where we just were a juggernaut, creating chances, scoring goals, I thought that was really big for our offensive period in that time. And I think down the stretch here, you've seen, like, defensively, we've just been rock solid. And mm-hmm. the guys that, you know, we touched on earlier, like, you know, just have stepped up. Just as, you know, you hope that they would. It's the reason you brought them in. It's the reason that that you made the moves that you did. So, why we're sitting here in a good spot today.
Yeah. There was sort of that sequence of results. I think Montreal falls in the middle of it, but that beating San Jose at home and that 3-1, mm-hmm. which was a very, I remember feeling it was a very professional win in the sense that it wasn't just hanging on to that 2-1 result. It was getting that authoritative 3-1 result, going on the road and winning against Montreal, and then facing New Mexico in the Open Cup and just taking it to them.
Yeah.
And that sort of, you sort of see these games like come back to back to back, and they're each a little different. I feel like in previous years, sometimes you'd see a good game, but then follow it up with a disappointment, and then, or then you have like one fluke, you're like, no, this is how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. This season, it felt like there was sort of a building on successes. I mean, obviously there's times where you drop a game, that happens, but sort of a building on successes as the season goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the New Mexico game's an easy trap game to be like, Okay, you know, you get into a dogfight with them. And it was a dogfight, right? They score first, and you're like, you're looking around, you're like, wait, what's happening here? But the reaction was really important. And that's what I'd say, you know, even if we've dropped a game after some good performances and had a poor performance, I think the response, whether it's been in the game or to the following game, the mm-hmm. following week, has been really good. And you look, the teams that are successful in this league are the teams that are able to respond with adversity. And I think that that's been no different for this year. Now you could say there's, you know, been some results that have packed onto each other maybe, but then you get a big response, you know, Open Cup final, for example. Deflating loss.
Yeah.
Huge response taking out LAFC.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That we like that's an emotional roller coaster in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So for our response there to do that on the road after being on the road and losing Open Cup final, biggest game for the club to date, I thought that was huge. And to me, that's been kind of our pedigree this year, the ability to respond, whether it been, you know, in the moment, in the game, or the following week. So I've loved to see the fight of this group. I think we're a really, really tough team to break down. And when we get nasty and get in the trenches, it's not a team that I want to be playing against, that's for sure.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to call out, which is one of the first things that came to mind in thinking about this, was the back-to-back wins over the Portland Timbers at home. Because, you know, two different competitions, you know, I don't know how much that matters game to game, but, you know, to sort of...
Oh, it matters. It definitely matters. Yeah, it matters.
And then to go to the final out of that Timbers game. But I felt like, especially as a team that it was the first team that Minnesota United played in MLS, like, we got pantsed, to put it not too lightly, in that first game. You know, and Portland was always one of those class of the league teams, mm-hmm. and they've had their struggles this season. But, you know, to have them come into Allianz Field, that was one of those moments where I felt like Allianz Field is becoming a fortress, you know.
To me, if you look at that moment for those two franchises, from that moment on, they've been in a dogfight just to get in the playoffs, and we've been kind of riding our way up.
Yeah.
That was a huge moment, and you kind of saw what that weekend, that week of results, that 4 days of results, how that kind of changed the trajectory of those two teams for 2019. Now, granted, Portland is still in a playoff situation this year, but, you know, they need to go into the last day and win a game, obviously, to make it there. But it's dramatically changed, you know, both clubs. And, you know, what I love about it is I thought we went for both games. You know, we tried to put out our best lineup. We tried to put up lineups that we thought we could win both games. We didn't prioritize maybe one versus the other.
Right.
I mean, I really felt that. I think that's what was preached going into it. So to see us, you know, not say, okay, we're going all in for the Open Cup necessarily, and kind of give up the Sunday game, essentially, I thought was extremely important. And that was a hard-fought game back and forth to get a great late victory there, obviously. And then, you know, coming in, it's hard to beat a team twice, whether you're home or away. It's hard to beat a team twice. So, you know, there's a lot of little moments like we're talking about. I probably generically summed it up by that summer period. You know, I cheated.
Yeah.
But the more and more you keep bringing up these moments, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And that's why I say it's been about the response. Anytime that it looked like, oh, gosh, okay, here, this is where Minnesota United's going to trip up. That's
right.
What everyone was saying, right? There's no way they can sustain this. At every moment, at every door, I feel like we've been able to answer that call when we've been down and doubted.
Yeah. One more thing. I was talking to Ian Fuller a little bit about this last night also, and he was talking about sort of over a longer period of time also, but the emergence of the younger guys, Chase and Hassani and Mason, as sort of, I mean, I like how he put it. He said it sort of added a sort of spice to the team in a way, because you brought in, you know, these veterans, mm-hmm. and you need the veterans there for that stability, that understanding, that presence on the field and that presence in the locker room. But to have a couple young guys, you know, having their careers take off, I feel like that's a really important component of just the feel of the team this season.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, credit to those guys, because they've, like, really stepped up and taken the opportunity. But I also think, you know, a credit to the staff in saying, okay, you know, they've won their jobs. They've won their minutes. They've deserved them. They've earned them. You don't see that all the time, right? Because like you said, you know, you bring in veterans, you bring in experienced guys, you bring in high-priced players possibly, and you feel the obligation that, you know, these guys are the ones that should play. This guy has the experience.
Right.
So I think, you know, a testament to those guys and obviously to the staff of, you know, recognizing that. You know, I think there was probably a period, I'm sure I wasn't in those meetings, but where we were looking probably at making a big, you know, move for a left back. Obviously, when we traded Calvo away, it was, you know, there was questions that were being asked of that position. And I think to have a guy that you were able to draft and chase and kind of to shore up that spot, and now you look at it from a longevity standpoint, you hope you have a good future left back for years to come. And Hassani obviously has just made a great name for himself as a midfielder. And you've seen it even with, you know, it's not his rookie year, but Mason.
Right.
You know, these are players that, you know, we just identified three players that at the start of the season, I'd be lying to you if I said they were going to be key contributors.
Right.
And that's no disrespect to them. It's just what where they were at in the depth chart start of the year. So a testament to those guys, because you need players like that to step up. You need players to almost, you know, play over their contract, play over their experience and their age. And those three have been tremendous in doing that for us this season. And we, you know, we honestly wouldn't be in the situation we are if it wasn't for their performances over the course of the season.
Yeah, Hassani is one of those guys, right? I've said it before on the podcast that, like, when he was drafted, I was sort of barely paying attention by that point. Yeah. I'm like, oh, second round, maybe he'll get signed. Yeah. Maybe I won't even meet him, you know? Yeah. And then for him to come out and do what he's done this season is
he's an easy guy. He's an easy guy to rally behind.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, when he came in, I just remember being like, very quickly, I thought the same thing. Oregon State, you know.
I
don't know many guys coming out of good guys coming out of there. Last guy I know that was, you know, pretty solid guy was Kyrie Shelton that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Who's now playing in Bundesliga, so he's done all right. but, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, oh, you know, we'll see kind of thing. And then he showed up and I was like, this guy was playing at Oregon State? Like, he wasn't in like a top Pac-12 school kind of thing, you know, like and that just kind of shows you, you know, people just develop maybe later. They didn't get an opportunity and they weren't seen. I mean, he stepped in from day one, in all honesty, in preseason, and was able to play with the big boys. He took it physically, technically, and he's continued to develop. Obviously, it's not bad when you have a guy like Ozzie Alonso to learn from.
Sure.
You know, this guy's got all the tricks and trades of the game. So he, you know, he's great to obviously learn from. But I mean, Hassani's been an incredible surprise to me, and I think many. So
yeah. All right. Well, Ethan, I'll let you get back to it.
All righty.
Thanks a lot. Michael Boxall, thanks for joining me here on Sound of the Loons.
Thank you for having me.
So, I have never been on a good sports team. I was on some really terrible Little League baseball teams. But I have been in some good bands.
Okay.
And I think that in any band, you play some shows, you sort of figure stuff out, but there can be a point where you play a show and you look at each other and you go, hey, like, this is special. This is something here. And I know that I've talked to a lot of the guys about, you know, the season and talking about just even coming into the preseason, it was clear from the additions of, you know, Ike Opara and Ozzie Alonso that there was sort of a different mentality and, you know, about the team as it started. But was there also some point beyond simply going, we have a good squad, like a result or a moment in a game or after a game that you thought, this team's got something?
Yeah, I think for me, obviously, when all the new signings came in and you're not sure what to expect from Jan or Vito or Romain at the very first couple of weeks of preseason, you're not sure. But then I think on our second camp when we were down in Orlando and we actually played against some decent MLS teams, New York City, Orlando, and I think New England was the other team. I think we beat all of them and were like fairly comfortable in those matches. I was like, okay, this season's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a lot more fun. And that's when I kind of realized that we had potential this year. And then obviously we started the season fairly well with the five games on the road, and then hit a bit of a few snags. And that's when, like, I guess the honeymoon period was kind of over. It's like, okay, we've got good players, but we still need to find our groove, using your band analogy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we still need to iron out a few kinks. And I think through those weeks of probably April, May, we kind of slowly figured it out. And then I think that big stretch through June where we were undefeated for a for a few games, that's when we kind of really found our footing.
Yeah, that I was talking about this with Ian Fuller also, that, you know, that first stretch on the road, there were some good results in there. And then everybody was excited to get into Allianz Field. But that at first, Allianz Field didn't even really quite feel like a home field advantage in some ways because it was just so new.
Yeah,
like even
sure.
The crowd itself was sort of learning when to go and sort of when to support. And the supporters have almost sort of gotten into form over the course of the season as well. So those sort of early results that were, you know, draws and things like that.
Yeah.
That it took a little while for it to click. Was there an Allianz Field game you think that was sort of like a turning point moment? I sort of think back to like one of the first ones I remember feeling was like this is hitting on all cylinders was the win over SKC in the Open Cup, especially given SKC's history in the Open Cup and Minnesota United's history with that team. To win 4-1 against them sort of felt like, oh, this is sort of like a coming out party in some ways.
I mean, wow, all that seems like so long ago.
It's ancient history.
It does. It really does.
We were discussing this as well, like how long ago all this stuff seems.
Yeah, because I think the home opener, that was, I mean, emotionally for me, that was so much going on. It's like you're trying to take in so much, but then you've also got to play a football match.
Right.
Which, I mean, and that was a crazy game in itself. So, yeah, I'm trying to think which of our first home games actually felt like, okay, we have to protect this field. We have to, and we're like in sync with the fans. And obviously I was on the bench for a few of those earlier ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, because like even the win over DC United, which was the first win,
Wonderwall.
Still felt like, I mean, it was great to get that Wonderwall out of the way, but it sort of was like it still felt a little weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was also thinking about there was a couple different sort of like runs of games that I was looking at, and
I actually might agree with you though. I think that the Open Cup run did start it. I think because even against that SKC team, we had it was like a mix of starters, a mix of people who haven't started a whole bunch of games, and I think we still put on a really good performance. Put 4 past them, and then I think that was probably the start of that unbeaten streak.
Yeah, it was either there or the one before that or something like that. But and then going to Houston and getting the result. And Houston on the road seemed big. And then I was talking with Ethan also, sort of along those lines of that SKC game, that win against Montreal on the road with a rotated squad was one that I sort of felt that was coming on the heels of beating San Jose 3-1 at home, which felt like that felt like a very professional win to me, like watching it, because it was, you know, being up 2-1 and then not just hanging on, but going to get that final goal to sort of like put the nail in the coffin there. But then going to Montreal and seeing like, oh, well, you know, seeing the crew that traveled and going, well, this isn't a first, you got to rotate guys. It's, you know, and things like that. But then to get the result was.
You do see comments from people say, oh, this is the starting lineup. And I was like, oh, well, they're just going to take an L here and move on. But I think respect to like, because a lot of those guys hadn't featured a lot or at all, like the whole season. And then just to go, I mean, that's not an easy place to play, Montreal. They've got some talented players, and like every single one of those players stepped up, and especially Mason that game.
He was,
I think that's when we saw his potential really come out, and he was really on fire off then and then after that too.
Yeah, and those young guys, you know, Mason, he's not a rookie, but you know, he didn't get to play that much last year. So, and then Chase and Hassani. Is another thing I was talking to Ian about, that he was saying that he felt like, you know, bringing in the veterans is important. It sets a tone in the locker room and a tone on the field, and they have the experience. They know how to do this. Having those rookies sort of develop this season really sort of brought a sort of like a, he phrased it as a spice to the team, like a sort of like, you need some of those young guys coming up to be successful. That can really add something to just the feel of the team overall.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you have the up and coming, obviously they're very talented players, very hungry to play. And when they bring that energy to training, I think in some teams, when you do have older experienced players who just start week in, week out, you can kind of, I wouldn't say take things for granted, because we've obviously got great professionals in our team, but it does keep everyone on their toes in a sense. And I mean, Hassani's been unlucky not to. I mean, he'd be good enough to start in at least 25 other teams in this league.
Sure.
So for him, he's just unlucky here to be stuck behind Jan and Ozzie at the moment. But when there's three in the middle, he's. I mean, there's been games where he's been one of our better midfielders, and I'm excited to see where this guy goes. He's obviously deservedly been included in the US Under 23, and
yep.
If he gets to play at the Olympics next year, that'll be massive for him.
Yeah, that him scoring that game winner to clinch the playoffs, I think, and I've said this before on the podcast, but I blacked out. Like I try to keep it tight, you know, in the booth and not get too excited. Like, you know, we're not in the press box, so it's we can be a little bit more effusive. But I had stood up because I felt like sitting down was making me too nervous.
Yeah.
But then I was standing up and I was even more jacked up. And then when he scored that goal, I made some noises, I'm sure. And then I had to kind of pull it back in. But, you know, it was one of those great moments where I was like, I'm so glad it happened. I'm so glad it was him in that moment.
No, I think it was, couldn't be a better person to do that with how the club's moved forward and how he's going to be a big part of that. And obviously during that big run, he was really instrumental in those games that he was playing and starting. And then, obviously, when Ozzie was fully healthy, when Romain came back from the Cup of Nations, he kind of, sacrificed a little bit. But then the games when he's had to come on, when he's had to fill in, come on and give us a spark for the last 20 minutes. And that's exactly what it was in that game when I mean, anytime he's, like, near the edge of the box and you just hear the crowd, like, in anticipation, just like yelling at him to shoot because they've seen what he can
right.
do. I'm in the same as well. Whenever he takes a touch, and then you see him setting himself, you're like, there's another banger coming.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, shoot. I mean, I'm up there going shoot. So, speaking of shooting it, I have to ask you about your header against LAFC. It was one of those moments where you got so free from everybody. Yeah. I thought there's got to be something wrong with this goal.
That's what I thought too. And you kind of see my reaction as I'm like picking up the ball. I'm like glancing over at the flag. But yeah, it was almost like how we do it at training when we just practice the timing off Jan's run up. And there's obviously we do it with no defenders. That's kind of what it felt like. But then kind of timed it so well that I got myself in between the ball and the goal, like, so I'm facing the ball as it's coming to me if the goal's behind me,
right?
And then you kind of lose touch of where the goal is, but I was like, I just need to get a touch on it somehow, and I know it's got a chance, so and then obviously just hoping that the flag stays down, then I've timed it right, and fortunately it did. And
so is it just like a moment of faith at that point when you go up and you're facing the wrong way, like you're just hoping for your sense of experience and your sense of spatial awareness to just because you just get it right over Cisniega, I think, like right under the bar. Is it just you're just hoping for
I don't know
experience to work?
Like your moment in the Hassani goal, I think once you're in there, I kind of like black out and it's just like instinct. Any touch should do the job, and luckily it did.
Yeah. So that when you get that, you know, like I watched the replay of it, and you sort of track back for a second, and then cut inside off the front line, like you're saying, like as if there's sort of no defenders there.
Yeah.
It's just so rare because I feel like a lot of times in set pieces, everybody sort of collides, everybody goes up. You know, the ball is coming into an area, and you need to sort of get to that area, but there's other guys there.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost had the feel of like a basketball play of running off a guy, and there wasn't really a screen, but they just sort of didn't get on you, and then you just cut through like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the LAFC defenders, but obviously off corners it's difficult because I think me and Ike are pretty heavily marked, and there's so many bodies there, it's tough to get free. I definitely prefer the wide free kicks because you've got free space to attack, and then obviously I just made that lateral run just to get yourself away from the defender, and then there was a hole to run right through, and I don't need a second invitation.
So just to touch briefly on the last thing here with the game against Seattle coming up here and this chance to get that home field advantage. Do you like having this? Would you prefer to sort of know where you're going to be sitting going into the playoffs right now, or do you like going to that final game saying, "This is it. Like we got something to play for right now."
I think it feels like we've been in playoff mode for like, I don't know, at least a month. Like every game, probably longer. Every game has been like a must win to stay in good position, and then the last few weeks has been, okay, we need to finish top four. And now we're like, okay, we're in second. We need to make sure we finish there. So I think everyone's in kind of playoff mode, or has been already. So I think we're in that same for tomorrow. I think, yeah, we know we need to win because we know how dangerous we are at home. We're tough to beat at home. But actually thinking about it the other day, like of all the games we've played against the teams currently in playoff positions, so I mean, before tomorrow it's going to be 11 games. I think we've lost two. LA, at Dallas, but then Dallas was like a heavily rotated squad. So
And that win over Dallas at home was, I mean, one of the big. That was speaking of big wins,
big
like that for Vito's last second penalty save and everything like that.
The last 5 minutes of that game was nuts. Like, that got so loud. Obviously, I don't know which was louder, the Dallas game, like the end of the LFC when we're chasing, trying to get the our second goal, or after Hassani's goal.
Yeah.
Like Ike standing like five yards away from me, you're like, I'm yelling at him, and he's like, cannot hear what I'm saying. that's the level of the decibels inside that stadium. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
So playing against those teams that you would end up facing in the playoffs, and the success, you've only like lost two games so far to those teams.
Yeah,
so.
I think. Obviously, we want them at home because we want to reward our fans, not only for the amazing support this year, but for me, like the season and a half before that, where, I mean, these guys are the best. They've shown up and supported us like through thick and thin, through no matter what, through some tough games, tough results. So I think they deserve to see some playoff games live. So that's why we want to do it. But I mean, it's football; anything can happen. But even if we do have to go on the road, like I'm confident with this group of guys we got.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Ethan was saying is like we didn't have the stats for road games, but I mean, especially compared to the last couple seasons, like Minnesota United on the road has been a tough out.
Yeah. it's bad because the worst part for me is like when you're flying back like the next morning from the game and going through the airport and people see you're obviously a team and you're just waiting for the dreaded questions like, how'd you guys go? And like, usually I'm just like, all right, headphones in. I don't have to be listening to anything. It's just like, universal code for don't talk to me.
that's grim. I've been on a couple road trips where the team is lost, and it is the mood on that bus the next day is not, it's not good.
No, it's not great.
So, But that's good. You don't want people to not feel it.
No, exactly.
Right?
So, those definitely hurt. And even the games that we have lost on the road or like this year, they do hurt a lot. But thankfully this year hasn't been as many.
Right. It's been a little bit happier on the bus generally. So, well, Michael Boxall, thanks for joining me.
No, absolute pleasure.
All right, Vito Manone, thanks for joining me here on Sound of the Loons. I'm talking to guys about sort of the team's evolving sense of itself over the course of the season. So I wanted to start by asking if you feel like there was sort of a moment during the season that you yourself sort of felt like this team might have something special, and why is it your stoppage time penalty save against Rito Ziegler?
It's been a good evolution. To be honest, since I stepped in the club, I thought it was going to be a good year. I don't know. I had this feeling straight away, the new stadium, meeting the fans, first five games on the road have been really good results. And already we achieved something that hasn't been achieved in the previous years. And, getting clean sheets on the road and getting the points straight away on the board. And that gave us the first boost. Second boost was opening the Allianz Field, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. A bit weird on the opening day, but since then I thought we progressed really well as a team. And as I always say, different moments, different wins help you to grow your confidence as a team, and help you along the line, you know, to grind some results.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned one, which is the Dallas one. It's at home, you know, we've been under pressure a little bit. We scored the goals that we needed to score, and then we defended for our lives. And yeah, it happens to be that, you know, it's a special moment. So it's a special moment for myself, but mm-hmm. it's a special moment for the team, I think, because it's just the kind of boost that you can't reproduce and in any other way. You know, it's a save on the 92nd minute, last kick of the game.
Right.
And, you know, it gives you that adrenaline, and it gives the fans the adrenaline to achieve the impossible. And,
right.
I thought we already did fantastically well to get to the final of the cup. That was another historic moment. Mm-hmm. But here we are, one game to go, and it's, you know, playoffs. We want to finish as high as possible, and why not reproduce this moment in our fortress again?
Absolutely, absolutely. So some of the other guys have talked about, I talked to Ethan and Boxy already today, and talking about that, getting those results on the road being big, and then opening Allianz Field and getting some results there, and then having to sort of weather that first... slump is not right. The team's never been below the playoff line, but sort of after that initial burst of energy, you know, you sort of had to get through a little rough stretch there. But also some of the results have built on each other in a way that I think hasn't happened for the team in the past. I mean, I know this is your first season here, but I think before we would sometimes see a good result, but then it not carrying forward. But this year, it really feels like following that, I'm going to say it's a fallow stretch of losing a couple games. When that streak started with the Open Cup, I think that's sort of about where it begins of unbeaten games. What is, I mean, obviously good results, you want them to build on themselves, but is there a key to getting a good result to build on itself going forward?
Listen, you always learn from the bad results too. It's,
sure.
You know, as bad as it sounds, is you learn from it, you learn your own mistakes, and you try to improve. And you know, the coaching staff, I guess, they learn a lot about the team in those moments. And you try and change and try to find the perfect formation and perfect personnel to deliver again. And this, you know, we had a couple of games as well. It's been really tight and we lost by nothing.
Right.
It was margins. So you just don't dwell on it. And you try to work hard. And I always felt this team had a kind of reaction all season around. We lost one, the next one we really go out and trying to come back. We lost the final.
Right.
It could be a really, trust me, I've been losing a final another time.
Sure.
And it felt really, really hard on my previous team, you know, my previous club. I was at Sunderland, and we almost took 1 month and a half to recover from losing a final.
Right.
This team has gone, you know,
bounce right back against LAFC.
Right back,
right? Yeah.
It's that's the secret of a positive team and a team who wants to, you know, achieve something. And we already achieved the playoffs, which is you know, a great thing for the club and for everyone. But we want more.
Yeah,
we want more and more and more. So it's not time to think what. You know, what went wrong, because many things went right
this
season, and we want to stay positive and, you know, try to deliver tomorrow. But as I said, it's been games where if I think about the losses, we kind of learn from it and turn the page and try to react the next game.
Yeah. So you were talking about your experience with Sunderland. Obviously, you've been in a lot of different squads in your career with different players. How does this team compare to some of those squads? Like, as it's sort of, you know, evolved over the season for you.
Yeah, it's difficult to compare. Every team is different. You know,
sure.
You got different personnel, different characters. You got different players. So. In this season, I could tell, you know, we got a very mature team. We got a team West players who can change the game, and you know, in terms of character and in terms of dragging other people around. And you know, we've seen fantastic seasons from the Rockies. That's mm-hmm. another thing that's been important for us. They delivered, and they did it in a way that they helped the team in moments in the, for example, when we lost bodies, we lost players like Romain, who went to Madagascar, and sure. we lost, you know, players internationally. The youngsters always stepped up, and they always deliver for us, and they always gave us a big push. I just remember that stretch where we were 7 in a row. Asani was brilliant.
Yeah,
he filled in, right back, left back, midfielder.
Yeah,
whenever you put it, he was delivering. So
yeah.
Chase came in the team. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, I can name many players who stepped in the pitch, and you know, lately a guy like Lawrence stepped in.
Yeah,
and Lawrence Olum is been great. We won games with them. And that's the the quality of a team, but it's not 11, it's not 13, 14 on a day. It's, mm-hmm. it's the full team. I've seen everybody really focus on the job, and when we needed it the most, you know, we went. For example, I can name many players who stepped in at Montreal.
Yeah,
that's another massive 3 points.
Yeah, that was one that came up. I was talking to some other guys because that was one of the ones that I felt. You know, that was following up on the win over San Jose at home, which felt like a very professional win. Like, I love that it wasn't just hanging on 2-1, went and got that third goal and really put it away. Then going on the road to Montreal, you had to rotate, and it was like, okay, well, you know, it's a game on the road. And then to get a result out of that, that was one of those moments that I felt. I was like, wow, this is not just a good 11. This is depth to this team.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely the depth. The depth has been there from day one. And I guess thankful to the people who work at the club and who got the players in, who, you know, everybody is involved in a great project and achievement. So it's great that everything worked out. And now we are a few games away from a dream, and why not keep dreaming? You know, I came here with a few dreams myself, and that's what I try to do every day, and try to, you know, share it with my teammates. And we shared the dream to get to the final of the cup, and we did. We wanted to win it. It didn't happen. We were very close.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's playoffs. Next challenge is winning the playoffs. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
You know, people keep writing us off. But
right.
This is the beautiful, beautiful game. You just come back. You react, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
You have great character, and you show everyone that nothing is impossible.
Yeah. So looking at this matchup against Seattle, just briefly, do you feel like, would you rather know the seeding going in right now, or do you kind of like going into this last game with like the pressure on the line to have to go out there and win?
Yeah, you always would like to know before, but it's difficult, you know. It's we know it's gonna be a few very interesting games for the 6 and 7 players
yeah.
of the playoffs. So you got 4 teams fighting about, but gladly we are in the playoffs
right.
already. We are not of those teams.
Right,
so
right.
We can focus on finishing the top 4, which is another big, big challenge. And possibly nobody would have said at the beginning that we would finish top 4. We
yeah.
are right now we are second, and tomorrow is a great challenge, a great game, and you got a team who wants to leapfrog you. So it's a challenge there for us, but we've been excellent as well on the road. Why not finishing with a top win?
Mm-hmm.
And prepare for the playoffs.
Yeah. So is it going to be hard at all? You feel like every team in MLS is in action at the same time. You're going to be out there, and results are going to be happening, and everybody's going to be paying attention to that. But you're going to be out on the field focused on your game. Is it going to be like, are you going to get off the field and you're just going to have to check everything and find out where everybody is?
Yeah, yeah. I guess the bench will know already as soon as we step out. But the focus is 100% on the game. And, you know, we are in a situation where we play for the second spot. So.
Yeah.
It's down to us. It's in our hands.
Right.
And it's down to us to deliver tomorrow. Big game, great opponents, great stadium, great fans. I heard it's a very loud stadium. So it's gonna be good, and we need to make it good. You know, we can't let ourselves go with another chance of getting an important 3 points, and 3 points that are gonna change massively the results of the playoffs. Because if you play 2-3 games at home, we know that our home is being a fortress, and it's massive for us. So he's there. He's a big present at the end of this game. He's there. We need to take it, and we need to deliver a performance like we always done in big games. So we can't let ourselves down.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Vito, thanks a lot.
Thank you.